Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. Now Joel, you and I were talking off mic about this market, and I just flat out said I don't really feel like talking about GameStop anymore, but it is showing us a function of this market that you even made the comment, this market is just flat out crazy. And you were bringing up a couple other moves in stocks already this week on the back of tweets and also reports that are just out of the ordinary for more, I guess, normal functioning markets. But we just have a crazy market right now where there's a lot of money in the system and a lot of money that is rotating from stock to stock and short squeezing stocks higher. It's a crazy market. I do agree with you. Give us a couple other examples of what's caught your eyes in terms of just how wild this market is.
Good afternoon, Corey. Thanks for having me. This is just a bizarro market. It's the only way to put it. Besides what GameStop hitting 159 yesterday, BlackBerry got over $20 yesterday, got up to 22 in the pre-market trading. It is now trading in the red by 38 cents at 1765. Anything, iRobot, IRBT, Space Holdings, SPCE, anything with a high short float is just getting to, you know, just having these incredible rallies, short covering rallies. And it's not really anything new. I mean, we've had, you know, bucket shops and we've had penny stock things, but with the internet, right, with the access and the free flow of information and the anonymity of being able to do it, just absolutely incredible. A few other, just besides short squeezes, what I mentioned, you get Etsy now in the red by $3.50. It was higher by over $20 when because Elon Musk tweeted that he bought something on Etsy and he liked it. High in that, $226.73. It's down $3.30 right now at $205.50. Beyond Meat, Left 4 Dead. This company does first of all, you got a high short interest. It broke out yesterday. You had short scrambling for cover. And then today, the company announces that they're going to be doing a deal with Pepsi-Cola and do plant-based snacks. I certainly hope they taste better than the burgers or dogs. But that stock, it's still trading in the green by over $29 at $188. I think it got to $221. It got within $20 of its all-time high. So you are just, you know, if you, and I'll just stress this to your investors, you know, your listeners, if you have targets on some of these stocks and you've been waiting a long time for it, like Triple BY, that got up to $48 yesterday. Take your money. Take it. This is not investment advice, but when you get a stock makes goes to a 3.5-4 year high on a short squeeze, that's a rare opportunity. So GameStop is just the tip of the iceberg. It's starting to settle down a little bit today. It's up only $12, but I just got to tell it like it is.
Joel, what do you take away from this crazy trading in terms of the overall health of the broad averages? Because you could argue that, look, there's clearly new investors that are paying attention to these markets and there is still a lot of money in the system. So can you make the argument that in a roundabout way, this is, I don't want to say healthy, but it's not extraordinarily bearish because of the fact that clearly there are new investors and there is still a lot of money in the system. So that does support some of the current valuations of these markets.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. Some of these stocks are still trading at very reasonable valuations. One other thing that I just wanted to point out when we're talking about the short squeezes, and a lot of it has to do with market structure. You don't have, market makers that are obligated to post a two-sided market. You have computers that are run by algorithms. And when, a stock like GameStop, hey, they're sitting on the bid. They're not showing a huge offer, if any at all. And, so there's one where, instead of having humans as market makers, having machines running it, no affirmative obligations, it's easy, like, oh, boy, this is too wild. It's time to pull the plug. So I just wanted to mention that. But I agree with your point. There's, Apple and Microsoft. I mean, these companies are firing on all cylinders. They were able to do well even during the pandemic. So, yeah, you can't throw a blanket on the entire market, because there are some good stocks out there that are trading at reasonable valuations and reasonable PEs. And you get another dose of that with the next round of earnings reports, which really you had the banks last week, but in earnest today with Apple and Facebook and Tesla. So some big guns reporting today.
What do you think when it comes to the earnings and all the big tech earnings that we are getting this week? What do you think is going to be most important to watch? And what are some of the nuances that you're going to focus on?
I think what I'll be watching is if these companies beat and they can't hold the gains. That's kind of what you had what happened with JP Morgan that made a new all-time high ahead of its report. Now it's a good $12, $13 off that. General Electric that's a different company. That's been a dog for a while. So not as expected. But, to see if these pops are sold, to see if these good reports are sold is what I've have been seeing so far. Goldman Sachs had a good report that sold off. So I think that the street, what I'll be looking to see, are they more inclined to sell rips and less inclined to buy dips on bad reports? Because, what we had in last year, everyone was looking for a bad, Q2. And, because Q1 kind of got a pass because the pandemic, started a little bit, in February and March. Everyone was expecting, the bottom to fall out Q2. And they basically gave everyone a pass. I mean, the airlines, a lot of these companies got passes. So that's what I'm focusing on here on earnings moving forward.
So, Joel, talking about the whole potential of selling the rip or buying the dip, we do still have that buy the dip mentality in the markets and in a wide range of stocks, I think.
Yeah, that's another thing that I wanted to mention, too. I mean, it caught me hook, line, sinker yesterday when it had that mid-afternoon sell-off and, boom. I mean, you thought, this is it. They're coming home to Papa. And, man, the market just turned around, got even more people short, turned around in a dime, and that, that accelerated the pace of yesterday's rebound as well. You do have a little reference point. I like to try follow the S&P 500 futures. You did have a high last week at 59.75. That'd be 38.5975. You sure looked like you were just going to tag it. When it got up to 38.62 1/4 this morning, but we backed off 20 handles from then. So, am I going to call it a double top? Well, it doesn't do any good. But your all-time, and another thing that I like to emphasize for traders and for investors, not only if you're day trading or short-term trading, this is more meant for longer-term investors. Yesterday's closing high, 38.48.50, basis to futures, that was an all-time closing high, and that improved on the other high by a couple points. So currently trading at 43.50, could easily improve on that today.
All right, Joel, one other news event that is going to be coming out tomorrow is the Fed meeting, the statement, and the press conference from Jerome Powell. I know there's not a whole lot of expectations that the Fed is going to do anything other than continue to talk dovishly and keep their policies the same, but a lot of people are still saying, well, maybe they will say something about yield curve control, or maybe they will say something different because it's the first meeting under a new administration. Where do you stand on expectations for the Fed statement and meeting tomorrow?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I mean, it's going to be the tone, right? I mean, they've basically said, you know, low rates forever. Until they are absolutely forced into a corner with inflation, I don't think they're doing anything. They're looking, you know, they want more stimulus. You know, they're talking about another $1.9 trillion. So I don't really see a big change. I mean, the markets are, you know, historically volatile on those days. But man, I just don't see them backing off that dovish stance.
No, fair enough. And they have said that they're okay with inflation running higher, all these other aspects that makes you think that they are going to stand pat. But there's still just so much that can happen this year that who knows? We'll see if we get any change, but it sure doesn't seem like that. Summarize then for us, Joel, what do you think are key drivers for these markets or for individual sectors? And are you seeing sectors out there that offer some nice value right now?
No.
That's fair. All right.
People don't want to hear about it. I mean, they want to buy. Why do you want to invest in a utility or a dividend yielding stock when you can make 17, 18, 20, 40, 60% in a couple of days in a stock? So, I mean, I'll stick with the stalwarts in my portfolio. Big cap, you know, basically the S&P 500 index, and I'll ride with that. And I've always kind of been an index trader, do have some individual stocks that I have in my portfolio, but I just don't know what to tell you here. I would say taking a look, you know, still kind of look at some of these lockdown stocks. I mean, you had, Carnival Cruise Lines get over $23. Now it's back under 19. I mean, I think a lot has, you know, predicated on what goes on with the pandemic. And a lot of people in the market sure seems to see it's behind us with the vaccines. But, I mean, it just seems like big tech kind of survives in the good times and the bad times.
Yes, it does. That's the big takeaway here. It seems like the blue sky for big tech is, well, still there. Always has been there, which is kind of crazy to follow along with. But boy, oh boy, this market continues to be crazy. And there's a lot of money being made by investors and some short-term investors. So we all do need to be aware of that as well. Joel, great chatting with you, buddy. As always, I love having you on the show and also listening to the recordings of your pre-market prep show. I will post a link to the Benzinga website below this interview. Joel, thanks for your time, man. I'll chat with you next week.
Okay, thank you, Corey.